with the saints at the chapel. We have a few confirmed cases of COVID in the household. So appreciate that you pray for us. Everyone is doing fine. We believe that there was a training at Aaron's school. The teachers were together for an extended period of time. They had masks on and social distancing, but I believe 6 or 7 teachers tested positive. The school was actually shut down for a week while everyone quarantines. We have had some tests, and you know, Aaron has tested positive. Ellie, Jonathan, and Cassia all have tested positive. They're doing fine. I believe I have it, but I have not tested. Daniel has tested negative. So just pray for us, pray for strength and healing. It does wear us out a bit, and I have lost my sense of taste and smell, which actually, maybe I'll lose some weight. Food doesn't taste as good. Appreciate you, coming today to hear what I have to say from the Word of God. So, what I'd like to do, I'd like to read a portion of scripture, and then I'll open up with a word of prayer. In Colossians, I've been reading in Colossians, and I was reading Colossians 3, and a particular couple of verses really stood out to me, and wanted to just read to get the context of the verses. So if you follow along with me, I'm reading from the King James, Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy or inward affection, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called, in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it gives us instructions for the days in which we are living. We thank you, Lord, that we can seek those things that are above, and that we don't have to be mired in the events of the days that we find ourselves in, but we can know that you have something better. You've called us to something higher, that we can be an example to those around us. We thank you and praise you for this time. We pray that you get all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as I was reading this chapter, the verses that stood out to me was verse 14 and 15. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be you thankful. You know, if we, I mentioned, we turn on the news today, or get on social media, or maybe even look out the window, we see the complete opposite of these things. There's hatred, unrest, turmoil, and divisions. And it's very easy to get swept up into these things. But as the body of Christ, we cannot allow these things to seep into the church. God is calling us to be above all these things. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as his people, our interactions with each other must be characterized by love. It says in verse 15, it says, above all these things, put on love, verse 14, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be you thankful. We're called together into one body. You know, I think about, I don't know if you've ever seen that, you know, two siblings maybe aren't getting together, and the mom puts one big shirt over both of them, and they're stuck together. They can't get out. They put them in that shirt so that they can learn to get along. We've been put together in one body. And we are to be thankful for one another, to be thankful for being together. The church is the schoolroom of the believer. And it's there that we learn to love. It's there that we learn to love each other, learn to love people that are not like us, learn to love people that we may not necessarily get along with. But we are to be thankful for one another and love one another. So that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I'd like to read what the Bible says about love, and specifically our love for one another. In the King James Version, you may have noticed that the word agape, the noun for love, is translated charity. That word has changed its meaning over the years. I think it's helpful. It's interesting that in the King James Version, agape, when it's referring to love of the brethren, love towards one another, it generally translated as charity. Love for God, the love that God has for us, God's character, same word, agape, is translated love. God is love, for example. God so loved the world. That's the verb. But in this particular case, love for one another is translated charity. And we have a word that's similar, charitable. That's a word that we're familiar with, being charitable. Being charitable means full of love and goodwill towards others, merciful or kind in judging others. Being charitable is believing the best about one another. We may say that someone is uncharitable. We think about that as the worst possible interpretation of an action would be uncharitable. Cynical, questioning someone's motives, that's being uncharitable. But to be charitable is to believe the best. We ought to be charitable with each other, with one another. And really, as believers in Christ, loving one another is not an option. Take a look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. It says in verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. If you have love, you have everything. If you have love, you have nothing. Alexander Strauch, in his book, Love or Die, which is a great book, by the way, his book, Love or Die, puts it like this. Our Lord teaches that the first and greatest commandment and the chief duty of life is to love God supremely above self, others, or material things. All human love finds its proper place and order in life only when love for the eternal Creator, God, is first and foremost. And then he goes on to say, the second commandment is inseparable from the first. Love for God and neighbor are the sum of all God's commandments, all ethical behavior, all religious service, and all true inner spirituality. It all needs to spring from a love for God and a love for others. All of our behaviors, all of our religious service, as he says, true inner spirituality needs to spring from love. The love of Christ constrains me, compels me. We need to love one another. Back to Colossians 3. Focusing on beginning in verse 12. So the imagery of this passage is putting on clothing. So it says, put on therefore, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy or inward affection towards each other, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So previously in the chapter, we were told to put off, to take off these characteristics of the old man. And this very similar language that's in Ephesians. Ephesians talks about put off the old man, put on the new man. Here in Colossians, Paul breaks it down into individual virtues. Virtues that only come from a living and dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to put on these virtues as garments. We put on bowels of mercy or this inward affection. We put on kindness. We put on humbleness of mind, meekness and gentleness. We put on this willingness to forgive and to forbear. And then it says, above all these things, over all of these things, you can imagine putting on a garment, getting ready for Sunday morning. You're putting on your clothes. And after you put on certain items, there's one more thing that you need to put on to bring it all together, to tie it all together. You know, I can't help but think about Brother Bob Fujita putting on a white polyester suit, going to disco, listening to the Bee Gees, as he mentioned in the Lord's Supper. You know, one more article of clothing ties it all together. You know, maybe a belt. Think about it. You get dressed, you get ready, you put on your belt. It's not complete unless you put on this final article. Another translation said, crowned with love. And really, that's the thought there. It brings everything together. It puts everything in its place. It's complete. It says perfectness or perfection. You know, without love, all of these virtues are empty and shallow. Without love, without a belt, things don't get held in place the way they're supposed to. Without love, these virtues are shallow. Bowels of mercy becomes indigestion without love. Kindness without love can become cold. Cold civility without love. Humbleness of mind without love can grow bitter, can be prideful. Patience without love can turn to resentment. Love ties it all together. Over all these things, put on charity. Put on love. You know, the necessity of love reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, and that's what I want to spend the rest of our time. I want to spend the rest of our time in 1 Corinthians 13 so that we can dig a little deeper into this love that we're called to have towards each other. We're familiar with this passage. It's often read at weddings, which is a great time to think about this verse. But really the context of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. There was competition going on. There was carnality. People were placing much more importance on their gifts and their abilities than love for one another. There were schisms. There were divisions in this church. And Paul wants to tell them about a more excellent way. At the end of verse 12, he says, "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." There's a higher way. There's a more excellent way that we are called to, and that's loving one another. So I'm just going to go through each one of these characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13 as we continue on here. Now, as I mentioned, that the Corinthians were overemphasizing their eloquence and their gifts of communication. And he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." These great gifts of communication, this eloquence that people would get up and speak, without love, it's just noise. It's annoying and meaningless. Verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge," so great gifts of understanding, knowledge of the scriptures, without love, it doesn't amount to anything, and it doesn't bring value to others. It goes on in verse 2, "And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. Working miracles, having great confidence in God, performing wonderful things, without love, it doesn't accomplish anything. I am nothing," it says. You know, really the greatest miracle in our lives, one of the greatest miracles, is love for one another. Forgiving one another, something that is completely supernatural. We need the Lord. to love one another, to forgive one another. I can't help but think about Corrie Ten Boom, you know, being in that concentration camp, you know, seeing her sister die, you know, years after she got out, she was speaking, and one day she was there speaking about forgiveness. And as the crowd left, she noticed this man get up, and he walked forward, and she recognized him as one of the guards in the concentration camp. And all the flood of all these memories coming back to her. And he approached her and asked for forgiveness. Of course, naturally, she wanted nothing to do with it. But she cried out to God for help, to just lift her hand and take his... He held out his hand asking for forgiveness, and she lifted her hand and forgave him. So that is a miracle. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you know, here's great acts of charity, how we use that word today, great acts of community service and these sorts of things. Without love, it doesn't do any good. It only feeds your own ego. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, great acts of sacrifice, laying down our lives for the cause, martyrs being burned at the stake. You know, all of these things that people may, wow, you know, that person, they are really spiritual, but without love, it says, it profits me nothing. It brings nothing to me. Verse 4. Charity suffers long. So we are to be Christ-like in suffering. Love is patient. And love waits. Waits on God. And it's not just the ability to wait, but it's how we wait. We have a bad attitude while we're waiting. Do we show self-restraint when faced with provocation? Charity suffers long. Love is patient. Patient with each other. It says, verse 4, charity is kind. Love is kind. While patience waits, love is eager to act in kindness. Kindness, acts of kindness towards others. Galatians 6:10 says, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. I can tell you that people have showed us great kindness as we've been quarantining. Charity or love envies not. Love does not envy. It's interesting, Vines defines envy and jealousy differently. Envy wants to deprive others of something, and jealousy wants what other people have. But love does not envy. Love is content and generous with what it has. Charity vaunts not itself or boasts. Love does not boast. Love is not pushy. Love does not draw attention to itself. Love is not anxious to impress others. Love doesn't lift itself up. is not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. Love does not have an exaggerated idea of one's own importance. So here's what we love. I do. When you hear about a hero, somebody had did something. Maybe somebody was in a burning car and they ran up and got the person out of the burning car. And maybe afterwards the news is they're interviewing this person and they say, "I'm not a hero. I only did what anyone else would do in the same situation." That's the kind of hero we like. You know, if someone said, "Well, yeah, that was pretty good, wasn't it?" You know, we wouldn't like that. That's not a hero. A hero is someone who does heroic acts and doesn't accept the idea that they're a hero. That's the kind of heroes we like. You know, this exaggerated idea of self-importance. They're not puffed up. Celebrities, athletes that we find today always have something to say about everything. Love is not arrogant. Love does not have an exaggerated view of my own importance. Verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly, or love is respectful and appropriate. Love has good manners. Love does not make a scene. Love is not rude. It says, seeketh not her own. Love does not seek after her own. It's not selfish. Love does not pursue self-interest above all others. Love does not insist on having its own way. I can think of so many examples in my own life of wanting something, my time, having something in my mind that I'm going to do this now. And then something happens that prevents me from doing what I want to do. And, you know, it's so easy to get upset and to mope and to be angry that I didn't get what I wanted. Love puts other interests above your own. It says, love is not easily provoked. Love doesn't have a quick temper. Love thinks no evil. So the word here, think, it's the idea is taking an inventory. It's an accounting term. I'm taking inventory. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. That's something that we do. We have our little list of all the things that this person has done to me. And I keep this list in my pocket. And anytime a argument comes up, I can just pull this list out. And I have my record of all the wrongs that have been done to me. And I can bring that back up to justify my own actions. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. Love takes that list and throws it away. Love bears no resentment, doesn't hold a grudge. Love doesn't have a list of grievances. Verse 6, love rejoices not in iniquity. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love does not gloat when bad things happen to other people. Even when you think they deserve it. Love doesn't rejoice when bad things happen to to people. You know, you're driving, sometimes you're on the freeway and maybe there was a car accident on the other side of the freeway and you see this huge line of cars, everyone has stopped and you're just flying right by them because you're on the other side of the freeway. You're happy that you have a free pass that you can go, but there's a certain joy in watching other people suffer in cases like that. The Germans have a word for that, Schadenfreude. Why finding joy in other people's suffering, that is not charity. That is not love. Love rejoices in the truth. Love is glad when truth prevails. Love does not deceive. Love is characterized by integrity. Love doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. Love tells the truth. Speaking the truth in love. Verse 7, love bears all things. So this word here, bear, means to cover or protect. So love, for 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. Let's take a look at that. This is a very similar passage as what we were in Colossians. It says in verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That word fervent means stretched out. This charity, this love reaches out to others to cover, to protect. You know, we just had on Wednesday, we were going through Genesis 9. When Noah, in his nakedness, his sons came to cover him up. They covered his nakedness, his shame. Love does not expose someone to unnecessary shame. Love does not gossip. Again, that's that Schadenfreude again. Gossip. Sharing other people's sufferings and failures with others, there's a joy in that. That's not love. But charity covers, protects from unnecessary shame. Back in 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things. This does not mean gullible. Love is ready to believe the best, gives the benefit of the doubt. Love is not cynical, believes all things, hopes all things. Charity, love hopes all things. Love is optimistic, believes God for the future, the expectation of what is certain. Love rests in hope. So the future belongs to God. We can rest in hope. Finally, the last part of verse 7. Love or charity endures all things. So this word endure means to remain under the load. Love doesn't look for a way out from the pressure, from burdens that comes with having relationships with other people, loving other people. There is bearing a load. We need to bear the load one with another. We don't look for a way out. Look at Paul, for example. The Corinthians said unkind and untrue things about him. They questioned his apostolic authority. Yet he went on loving them, reaching out to them, willing to bear that load. People throw things on top of it. They add to that burden. But we continue to love. And finally, verse 8, charity never fails. Love never fails. And the reason that love never fails is because Jesus never fails. And really, all of these characteristics are the Lord Jesus Christ. These virtues that we read about, it can only come from him. It is, like I mentioned, that living, dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, his life in me, his love in me. I will not find any of this in myself. In fact, I am completely the opposite of these things. And the world is completely opposite of these things. We're not going to find these things in the world. We see the opposite, and we need to stand in direct opposition to these things. Now, often when people read this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, they finish with verse 13, and it is a nice ending to the verse or to the passage. It says, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we tie it up in a bowl and we leave it there. And it's very poetic, but that's not where it ends. Unfortunately, there's a chapter break right there. And if you go on to the very next verse, chapter 14, verse 1, it says, follow after charity, pursue love, press toward love, follow after love. There is an application to pursue love in our relationships. Study the scriptures. Read about the love that God has for us. Read about the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us, has for each other. Take a look at 1 John 4. First John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's the application. We see the love that God has for us. I see my own sinfulness and unworthiness. And yet we're overwhelmed with his love to me, accepted in the beloved, like we read about in Ephesians 1 this morning. Accepted in him. Who am I to reject anyone when he has accepted me? We need to love one another. So back there in Colossians 3, verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has given us this model of love. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to put aside our own ideas and interests and these things that can so overwhelm us, but help us to love one another as we ought. We thank you for the chapel. Thank you for your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow a love in our hearts for one another, in service, in all of these ways that we can show love to one another. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We just give you the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.